I can remember when Shanghai, as I was living in Shanghai in the 80s, hadn't yet started, didn't really start to change until the 1990s. And again, then once it happened, it was so quick.
I was at a lecture here at Glasgow University, Professor Bill Wallace, and he was talking about the emergence of Pudong. And none of us appreciated what Pudong was about. What does it mean? What's it all about? And he was trying to explain the significance of what was happening in Pudong. Yeah. And look at it now.
That's right. I think that is the thing. I think people always underestimate, have always underestimated the way in which things can change quickly. Quickly in China, and the success and the size of the, and the scale of the change, as well as the speed of it.
It's been an incredible quarter of a century or longer for us to see this. But in 2008, you founded the Scottish Centre for Chinese Research. That was based here at Glasgow University. Yeah. Why did you create this, and what's the focus of the SCCR?
The research centre, the idea was to bring together the people in Scotland, actually, who were working on China, but were in a quite disparate way, you know, the people in different universities. We had a small group of people here at Glasgow at that point, and there were scattered other academics across Scotland. I just felt that we needed to sort of develop a little bit of critical mass, try and work together more, and try and sort of build relations and build our research capacity, because clearly for the Scottish government, actually, increasingly, China was becoming important. And for us, we could see that it was important to engage with China, and we wanted to just sort of try and build that up as much as we could, work with everyone in Scotland who's kind of interested in engaging with China.
You mentioned the Scottish government. I know that the previous First Minister was out regularly in Beijing and Shanghai. So are you actually working closely with the government?
Well, we do from time to time. We liaise with them quite closely, and they've had a series of China plans about their engagement, and they engage, I think, very seriously with a lot of different stakeholders across Scotland, including us. So they include us in that, because education is something that Scotland has to offer, and I think something which is important in our relationships with China.
I've seen that today at Glasgow University, both at the Adam Smith Business School and also the Confucius Institute here, the work that's going on in Glasgow University, the very positive feeling that the Chinese students have who have been studying here, is very, very good for Scotland and China relationship.
I think so. We've got so much activity now. I'm International Dean for East Asia in the university, and China's our main country for engagement in East Asia. And honestly, just even kind of keeping track of what's going on is a job in itself. I've almost given up on trying to sort of map it, because there's too much. But we've got a lot of students here. We've got around 2,000 students from China at the moment. And we've got a lot of initiatives in terms of teaching collaborations, research collaborations, our Confucius Institute with Nankai University, and we're about to set up a joint graduate school with Nankai University as well. And we also have plans now for further academic activity in China, in Sichuan. We've got various collaborations in South China with Sun Yat-sen University too. So it's just, there's more than we can almost keep up with, or at least I can keep up with anyway.
Why did none of this happen when I just came back from China and looking for something to do? None of this happened. I was doing it all on my own.
I know, sometimes it's just a question of I don't know, it's just the luck and the timing. But I think, you know, obviously China's growth, a lot of people, I think in the UK generally, people probably didn't realise just quite how much of an impact that China's economic growth was going to have. And I think people still don't realise how much it's going to continue to have and increasingly have. But I think, you know, that for universities, it's become very important country to engage with, both because there's a high demand from Chinese students to come and study at our institutions. And it's something, so it's a place that we need to know more about. And also because we realise that the research capacity in China is so huge and growing so fast that we need to be working with Chinese colleagues in the developing research programmes, because they're clearly going to be big actors in the international research scene, as in an international university. Mm-hmm. Glasgow has to be working with the best in China, as we do with the best researchers elsewhere in the world.
Well, let's be honest, Glasgow already has the biggest Chinese community in Scotland, and it's a major centre of culture, of academic excellence, and it is a powerhouse. Although we're not the capital of Scotland, we are very much a powerhouse, and there's a lot of talent here, an awful lot of talent. But in the centre here, you'd have teaching programmes as well as yourself.
That's right. We have a master's programme in Chinese studies, which we deliver. And we're just actually, just as you came in the door, I was writing to colleagues, we're developing now, we're expanding that master's programme. We're looking to develop a joint programme at master's level in Chinese studies with Nankai University again, and also expand into undergraduate teaching. So that's now beginning finally to change. And it's not easy to expand language programmes in the UK for various reasons. But I think in Chinese studies, the demand is high enough that we can do that luckily. It's something that we're really looking forward to in the next stage.
I have to say that I've heard Nankai University mentioned many, many times today. You tell me your relationship with Nankai. You're a visiting professor there?
That's right. I am a visiting professor. And I think it's probably fair to say that a lot of the activity we have with Nankai is partly dates back to some of my own links there, although many of my colleagues have close links with Nankai now. But I actually lived in Tianjin and studied at Nankai in 1992-1993, and at that point I wasn't really studying exactly. I was doing field work for my PhD. I wanted to go and study in a large city, but you know, one that was a little less well known. I was, I think, through academic contacts that I was advised that Nankai was quite an open place and a good place to be. I was allocated a young Chinese lecturer who was assigned to look after me, poor guy, when I arrived, and help me with get interviews and do my field work. And I was looking at local government in China and how it was adapting to economic reform and how it was being changed by it. And this guy just turned out to be a great friend. He was so helpful, and we've kept our relationship, we've kept our research collaboration. That's been a lot of the basis for the expansion of research and collaborative activity in social sciences in particular.
Some of the students actually here in the centre are actually from China itself.
There are some, although at present most of our students are University of Glasgow, quite often Scottish students or UK students who are interested in learning about China and learning Chinese as well.
But some of them are doing postgraduate level, doing field work in China.
Our PhD students are doing that. We have PhD students from China, many of whom go back to China to do the field work. So we've got close relationships with the host, with institutions in China who send their PhD students to us, sometimes for a year, sometimes they come here and do their full PhD with us. That's helping us to develop research projects with their supervisors, and there's some really great relationships. And I have to say, the PhD students we have from China are fantastic. They're so good. The really great thing they do is they completely change people's perceptions.